Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and have quite a bit of news this week. I guess for any of you that were paying attention to the Fed, they've raised the rates again, 0.25, and kind of hinted that they may be done for a while, which I don't know about that. I have a feeling that they won't be done for a long while, but maybe they're going to pause at least the rapid rate hikes. But there's a lot of stuff still churning behind the scenes that's putting pressure on inflation tendencies, and I don't know. It's going to be hard, I think, to look at the history here and then say, oh, well, you know, it's different now when it's time for the next possible hike. And I saw Senator John Kennedy in a hearing this week, I believe it was, a man of immense common sense, or at least I think he has a lot of common sense. He's one of my favorite senators, and he made the comment in passing. He said, I think you've got 8 to 10% more rate hikes. And I tell you, I hope he's not right on that front, but it wouldn't surprise me. It would not be surprising. But in any event, let me finish our ever-present disclaimer that we talk about at the top of the show, that if you're tuning in today, just because you hear us discuss tax strategies, maybe some private partnership opportunities, et cetera, that does not make us your accountant or advisor. And it's also not something you should run out and go try to do on your own. You should always talk to your current set of advisors that know more about your facts and circumstances than I do at this point, or we do. And we're happy to get to learn more about you if you want to chat. And to do that, you should go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And top right of that homepage, you'll see a link for intake forms. And if you would be kind enough to fill those out and give us some of the personal details of your family's financial operations, then we will be happy to try to determine how we might help sync up with your objectives as it may relate to investing in real estate or family planning structures, you know, a family LLC or one of assorted other LLC types or trust that might be useful. And if you don't already have an attorney, we work with an attorney that's well-versed in these the application of these tools, these family entity tools. Let's see. What else besides the rate hike pause? I guess the banking sector is all ears in terms of the real estate strategies that are going to be put in play, because there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of uncertainty regarding refinances. It's amazing how many transactions have happened over the past 2 to 3 years that are all going to be looking for a home on a refinance opportunities or options here in the not too distant future. I think over the next 3 years, there's $1.5 trillion $1 billion of loans that are going to come home or come due that are going to have to find a home. And that's kind of scary. That's a lot of debt looking for a home. And I'm not sure there's that many banks that are looking to be the new parents, so to speak, of that debt. And if they are, you can rest assured they're going to have a higher debt coverage ratio that they're going to demand. And I think some pretty short leashes in terms of potential foreclosure options. And we've already seen a little of that start in the Houston market, at least. There was a syndicator that had about, I think it was 3,200 units taken back here within the last month or two. And I'm not sure there weren't other reasons beyond inflation and beyond, you know, the lack of performance. But, you know, the problem is everybody that's done a transaction in the last year or two has executed a very similar strategy. It's, you know, buy a beat-up old asset, somehow think that you're going to raise the rental rates by, I don't know, 25 to 30% over the next 2 to 3, 4 years, and then refinance all the money out. And that, you know, in the good old days, 2 or 3 years ago, that was much easier said than done. And now there's been so much short-term debt flood the market, the three-year bridge-style debt with 2 1-year extensions has pretty much jammed the pipes on the amount of debt dollars that's going to be needed to make the turn on the refinance. So it's going to be interesting to see how many new stories the syndicators have to attract you know, the new lender to say, oh, okay, I'll take a chance on that project. It looks like you've executed, and that would be a loan that we, you know, want to take on. Let's see here. There was a story in Houston about Fluor. It looks like Fluor is changing office spaces again, or expanding office spaces, moving out to West Houston. For any of you that work for Fluor, I assume that's a positive, moving into the into Granite Development's 3 Eldridge building. That's a nice part of Houston, especially if you live out west, I suppose, or even southwest, as the case may be. Let's see, there's another huge office project up in Plano that's coming, looks like it's coming online, 242,000 feet. That's a pretty big project going into the Plano area, into a 300-acre master plan campus. So I guess the Dallas area has not yet experienced the overcrowding or the overbuilding in the office market that a lot of the rest of the country has. But Billingsley Development is excited to finish their fifth major office project. This is actually AMP, it's a construction group, or AP, that's completed it for Billingsley. And Billingsley is a fairly good size office developer. But 300-acre master plan campus, that's sizable. And that's got, I presume, a lot of pre-leased spaces, or they wouldn't be able to pull that off in the market we've got right now. San Antonio's got a $100 million medical Center construction expansion that continues on in San Antonio. It's certainly not Houston's medical center, but it is something to be proud of, and I've watched a lot of that in the time that I've owned real estate in San Antonio, and it's always good to see that in a sleepy little town like San Antonio. It's good for their ego at times to not always be the lagging piece of the Austin-San Antonio, I'm not going to call it a battle, but let's just say they pay attention to what the other one's doing. And, of course, San Antonio's the little brother in that relationship, always trying to catch up. Let's see. What else do we have? I want to get one more story in before we go to a break. Let's see here. I had an article saved off. Commercial real estate prices dropped 15% year over year. And I always like these stories because for every, two or three of these, there's two or three of a specific niche that, had an increase, right, over a year. So it just depends on where you're at. And there was another big Houston lease. Where was that? I thought it was in the same article. Let's see, a Dutch chemical company. That's not Shell, is it? Who is that? Netherlands-based. Lyondell Industries is moving its U.S. headquarters to the Williams Tower in the Galleria area. That's a sizable piece of business development. That's again, for Houston, that's good news. Houston Center campus is, what they're referring to, the Williams Tower now. Let's see, it's part of the Houston Center campus owned by Brookfield Properties. Man, Brookfield has their hands in everything. That represents, though, a 318,000 square foot lease. Yikes. That's a lot of common area maintenance that's getting assessed to that tenant. That's all I can say. And good for them, and good for Williams Tower. That's no doubt a great tenant to have. Let's see. I still had another article that I was hoping to put my fingers on. I tell you what, we'll come back from the break. I'll see if I can find it while we're away. So let's go ahead and take that several minute break, and we'll circle back with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com, Nathan at NPRoss.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just talking about a few items in the news, most of which were good developments. And, you know, the sky is not falling, as the case may seem. And the sun will come up tomorrow on these transactions. And I know... you know, I was talking about how that even when there's some markets where things are dropping, I know in the San Antonio market, having just gotten property tax appraisals recently, Bexar County Appraisal District sure hasn't gotten the memo on how those prices were supposed to drop this year. And of course, you know, where my real estate's located in San Antonio is kind of let's just say it's a high value set of neighborhoods down in the Southtown area. It's kind of like River Oaks and Montrose there. And I tell you what, it's just unbelievable to me how the values keep going up in spite of everything. And you know, don't get me wrong, on the one hand, we like knowing that we own some of the better parcels in Bexar County. On the other hand, you know, what's the term, real estate poor, I think. And I don't know, I was telling my partner the other day, I think it's time to take some of the cards off the table and see if we can't take advantage of some of the values that are over there. So anybody that's listening to the show that's thought about having a 105-year-old vintage condo down, you know, two blocks off the river, the Riverwalk, you might give me a call. Let's see if we can't make you a deal on one or a couple of our units. And it is an incredible place to live. I tell anybody that ever moves in on one of our corporate housing type stays, 30 days or greater, that the only problem you're going to have is when it comes time to leave, you're not going to want to leave, because it is an addicting lifestyle to be where you can literally walk to most things that are worth doing, at least in San Antonio downtown. And you know, we've got a Riverwalk there that is concreted now, a near $400 million expansion several years ago, where it's got concreted banks now 8.5 miles to the south of our neighborhood. It's called the Mission Reach part of the Riverwalk. It's got all the missions along that stretch that are part of the World Heritage Foundation's district, the UNESCO group. And it's truly remarkable. As an amenity to have that dropped in on you, I guess I can complain about taxes all I want, but, you know, where do you get $400 million amenities handed to you that really enhance your lifestyle there if you live in that area? It's pretty amazing. But anyway, let's see here. I did have a couple of other things I wanted to take a look at real quick. There was an article that came out. Where did I see this? Well, it was a YouTube video, so I'm not sure. April 19th, 2023, and I'm not sure if I can get to a slide or not, but it shows the 10 states with the highest income tax. And for those of you that are thinking you may end up somewhere other than Texas when you retire, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's, you know, there's other states that have nice lifestyles or areas to call home. Let's see here. Massachusetts is the 8th highest at 9%. Minnesota is 7. I'm not sure why they picked these two out of the bag. Let's see here if I can find a couple more. 5 of the 10 states have a millionaire tax. Wisconsin's number 10 at 7.65. Vermont is 8.75. Massachusetts was 9. Minnesota was 9.8. Oregon, 9.9%. D.C. is 10.75. New Jersey is 10.9. Okay, there's California, 13.3. Hawaii's 11%. New York's 10.9%. So we just think that, you know, we're lucky we don't have a state income tax. Well, trust me, we make up for it, right? Our property tax, in my mind, is high. And I don't care how you slice it. I'll tell you the way you can tell who's got the highest state income tax or state taxes. I shouldn't say income tax because it really doesn't matter what you call it. It's basically a question of how much is your spending per capita. And if you figure that out, then you're going to be somewhere. If you're one of the higher spending states per capita, it follows that you have to be one of the higher tax states. And Texas, I haven't seen that stat lately, but I know within the last, 15 years or more, back when nobody thought Texas was a high tax state, I saw an article that showed how much our spending was per capita, and we were in the top 5. And so that would mean that, you know, we had to be one of the top taxers. It was just a question of how are we getting it. And so in any event, I would always caution you to not be complacent on thinking that just because we don't have an income tax, it's a fair tax type state. Let's see here. I wanted to mention, I saw an article this week that talked about why you might not want to do, let's see here, where was, well, I thought I had it here. It was a pretty succinct summary that someone put together as to why you might not want to do a Roth IRA. And there was one of the points that was made that I have to acknowledge. I assume that most people, let me go back here. I know most of the people we deal with Oh, I know what it was. I think it was a scenario where there were no heirs, and that took some of the luster off. And truthfully, it will. I mean, when we look at whether it makes sense for a 75-year-old or 80-year-old to do a Roth conversion, we're typically not looking at that in a vacuum. I mean, we're looking at it in the context of having heirs that are going to have, you know, significant amounts of that retirement account come to them after the parent, or typically it's the parents or maybe grandparents, pass away. And so if that's the case, then the family unit is still getting the benefit of the tax-free income, and so typically it'll still make sense. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention, well, let me hold off on that point. You know, the concept of doing the Roth at an age that's more advanced, let's say, still makes a lot of sense in when you look at what tax brackets are going to be doing in the not too distant future. And again, I know the needle may have moved a bit on, I mean, it could actually be faster. I don't know. It depends on the, you know, who you believe when you see all these stories about the debt ceiling, that those discussions morph over into the deficit and the impact on, you know, U.S. economy, et cetera. And let's just say that, you know, the day of reckoning could be here, you know, sooner than we think. And you know, 2029 to 2030 is what most of the prognosticators have been saying for a while now. And the old, the brackets, quote, need to go up by 150% to solve the deficit problem is now they need to go up by 200% to solve the deficit problem. And, you know, otherwise you're looking at significant cuts to things that most Americans expect to be at or above levels they're at now with regard to things like Social Security, Medicare, et cetera. And so, you know, I would suggest that, you know, if we don't get started, and that's the fear I think many of us have that work in this arena of deficits and tax rates and tax brackets, is, you know, we're not a nation that keeps a lot of savings laying around, at least in the middle class, where that's who has the money, really, when you look at the totality of the tax dollars. And if we have the wrong kind of war, let's just say a war with our Asian neighbors, the Chinese, do you have any idea what that could do to our budget, you know, deficit, the current budget deficit, in terms of what that would cost? And then, you know, we've already spent billions with the Ukraine war, and that one may not have really gotten started, right? So, you know, to think that we're going to deal with any other anomalies that pop up and take care of the debt or the deficit is just, you know, not realistic. And I think congressmen and congresswomen, you know, there are a few that have kind of they've woken up, but you know, you still got a lot that don't, you know, they're of a generation where they don't understand what it's like to go without. And some of us might think, you know what, having our Social Security cut a little bit in the end of the world compared to not getting anything, right? And I'm not suggesting that's what it would result in, but it's a pretty big cut that will happen across the board. I can't recall what that number was. I wish Dan were on today. He would know these amounts, but I want to say it's somewhere in the, you know, the high teens, if I'm not mistaken, amount of the cut. It's pretty significant. But in any event, that's coming sooner than we think. And so if you've got the ability to control your tax bracket in retirement, that's obviously a superior position to be in than if you're just going to be tossed to and fro based on the whims of the deficit, because that's what will happen. We have to pay for certain things, interest on the debt, and among others. I mean, it's obviously a laundry list of things that are not really discretionary. I mean, military has to be paid. Social Security, Medicare have to be paid. The percentage of our budget that's truly discretionary is very small, and it'll be gone by the 2029 time frame. But in any event, there's options for you to control single biggest expense in retirement, which is going to be your taxes, and totally do away with them if you bite the bullet now. And we'll talk a little bit about that bullet when we come back, because one of the other things that we like to see clients do, and we ourselves invest in these creatures, is invest our money in real estate and typically the multifamily space with respect to private real estate partnership syndications, and even, yes, our 401 funds. And that gives us some unique opportunities in terms of the Roth conversion. And now is the time. If you've got pre-tax money, and especially if you've already got it into these real estate private partnership syndications, you're sitting in a pretty spot in terms of optimizing that conversion. So let's do this. Let's take our last break here, and we'll come back in several minutes, and we'll pick up there and talk about doing a Roth conversion with our 401 funds that are invested in private syndications. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. Woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me. With big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were talking about kind of leading up to the reasons and how you might go about doing a Roth conversion, especially if you've already invested your retirement money, your self-directed 401 plan or your self-directed IRA into some of the real estate private placements. And a lot of people, you know, their eyes glaze over when you start explaining how you can do this. And yet, I'm going to tell you it's fairly easy once you understand some of the metrics and the nuances on why you might want to. Timing is everything, as it is with many things financial. And by the way, if you're interested in seeing how your funds would look in a converted world, feel free, again, go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER. .com and complete the intake forms that you'll see at the top right. There's a link to the intake forms. And then there's also a link to a call scheduler. If once you submit your forms, you'd like to discuss your objectives and what you would like to see your money grow to and the type of investments in the real estate arena that you would like to model. We can do all that in an effort to help you understand what you're signing up for. We don't sell investments with the Be a Planner or NP Ross Group. We don't invest your money for you. We are CPAs, and we understand the math that's inherent in every one of these types of investments. And so you look at it and see one thing. We look at it and see other possibilities, and we try to advise you as to what we see and make sure you're seeing that, because things happen. You know, these projects don't always turn out the way we hope. Sometimes they're better. Sometimes they're worse. Sometimes they are, it's a total surprise as to the direction they ended up taking. Other times there's some hints and some giveaways on the front end, and we try to take advantage of that when we see it. And we suggest there's a lot of questions you want to ask before you just hand somebody $50,000 or $100,000 of your hard-earned money to invest in a transaction. And unfortunately, all too many of the current crop of syndicators and sponsors, lead partners, whatever term you want to call them, out there, that don't really appreciate just how hard you've worked for your money, and are a little bit too quick to charge exorbitant fees and other undertake other costs that, you know, you got to think, if it was their money and they had worked 30 plus years for it, they would approach it a little bit differently. And so we like to see syndicators that try to align their returns and their fees with that of their partner group. And that's not a lot of them, but there are some out there, and we do our best to ferret that out. And that's not to say you don't invest with other syndicators. You really won't have much choice, but at least you try to figure out which ones are closer to what we prefer than not. And, you know, when you're talking about living the rest of your life, I mean, that's the thing. We've all got a longevity risk that is kind of lurking behind the scenes these days. You know, our length of living has gone up significantly. Life expectancy, I guess, is the term I was looking for. And, you know, the question becomes, at some point, are we going to outlive our money, which that's not a good outcome, or is our money going to outlive us and the heirs will be happy, or the whichever charitable organization we decide to contribute the remaining assets to once you and your spouse have passed on. But in any event, let's talk about the Roth conversion. So assuming that you have not invested in real estate private partnerships and you've heard about this asset space, you've maybe attended an event somewhere, a case study, you heard somebody on the radio talking about a mentor group that they make available for people to join. And so you've got it on your radar that, hey, that sounds like a good way for me to catch up with my retirement savings, my retirement wealth. And so however you get there, whether it's through consulting with folks like us, you know, that help you understand what you're signing up for. And again, we have no dog in the hunt here when it comes to, we don't care who the syndicator is, what the relationship is. They're never going to be part of a group that we put together because we don't do groups. We consult one-on-one with clients. And so you don't come to us and say, well, you know, who do you have in your group that's doing a deal this week or this month? I'd like to learn more about those folks. Well, I don't have anybody, okay? We are free agents in that regard. We can show you some of the groups that are available out in the real world, and you yourself can log on to sites like CrowdStreet.com or Realty Mogul, among others, and look at what transactions are being made available to the public. And there are some qualifications, which we're not going to get into on this show. We've talked about them before, and we'll talk about them again, no doubt, but the two major camps of investors are what we refer to as accredited and non-accredited. And those statuses determine which type of investment project you can invest in. An accredited investor can only invest in, an accredited investor can invest in either a 506B or a 506C offering. That's the code section under the crowdfunding statute these transactions are classified as, one or the other. And, you know, the 506C is the type that accredited investors can qualify for. That's an investor with $1 million in net worth, and or they earn $200,000 to $300,000 a year for three straight years, depending on whether they're single or married filing joint. And everybody else is non-accredited, and there's a further requirement for the non-accrediteds that they be sophisticated. And that's one of the reasons promoted by the platforms, the mentor platforms, that, hey, if you come over here and join our group for your $20,000 membership fee, we will qualify you as sophisticated. And I would suggest to you that that might be the case, but I'll also tell you that there's other ways of getting there without necessarily spending the 20 grand. And one of those ways is by working with a real estate focused CPA firm. In fact, it's defined right in the SEC statute that a financial advisor that understands syndications also qualifies you to invest in, if you're a client, to invest in the 506B type transactions. But in any event, bottom line is you've seen a transaction, you're interested, you decide to invest your Roth IRA or your Roth 401 trust into one of these structures, and that's great. You get invested and you're rocking along, and then you hear this radio show and we're talking about a crazy thing, which is converting our money from being taxable to non-taxable over the rest of our life. And you're thinking, wow, that sounds like an interesting proposition. How would I do that? Do I have to sell the investments I already have? And the answer is no. We can relist those investments from, well, actually, you don't even have to relist them. They're all coming out of the same plan, whether it's an IRA or a 401. There are reasons that it needs to be a 401 to avoid all tax, not just the income tax. An IRA is subject to a leverage tax that the 401 is exempt from. And that's all I want to say about that issue. Just understand the same transaction involving an IRA account, even a Roth, is going to pay tax if there's a mortgage or debt involved in that transaction. In other words, the partnership takes out a mortgage to buy that 300-unit apartment building. There will always be debt. You won't make money on real estate if you don't have a mortgage. So one thing we'll want to have you consider along the way is, how do I get my IRA into a self-directed 401 trust? And many people can rearrange their business activities to qualify. Some may not. And that's a discussion we'll have with you, and we'll advise you how that might or might not be possible in your case. And then we'll look at some other planning opportunities that where we might still be able to get some of those benefits just by timing our gains and losses over the rest of our life, even with a taxable account. All hope is not lost, but it sure gets a little bit harder than if you qualify to have a 401 trust. But in any event, the beauty about doing the Roth conversion at that point is that private companies, these private partnerships that we invest in, get significant discounts as to the value of the conversion. So that, you know, if you've invested $100,000, as an example, in a partnership, by the time you apply private company discounts to pay your Roth conversion tax, it'll be a number somewhat less than the $100,000 you invested. And that's due to being able to apply significant discounts for lack of marketability, lack of having a majority interest, in other words, control, and then, I don't know, 18 or 19, 20 more factors that the SEC themselves, risk factors, mandate in the private placement memorandum that you'll be given be disclosed, so that you're aware of the risk that a private company investment has, which those risks are real, there's no question, but they're the same risks that you have when you buy your personal residence for the most part. And so it's not like you haven't dealt with most of the risk in other contexts with real estate. So I would just tell people, think of the risk factors as an opportunity to convert pre-tax dollars at less than 100% historical cost basis over to Roth. In any event, you know, that's about as deep as I want to get on today's show about Roth conversions, but we will be talking ongoing about how it's really quite an amazing opportunity that we have to change the go forward of our investment returns by getting rid of the income tax. So, you know, if you have questions about that, again, beaplanner.com, beaplanner.com. And if you go to that site and scroll down that homepage, you're going to see a comparison of the three ways you have to invest your retirement funds if you want to control your money. And that's, in a summary, those are your only options. And happy to discuss any other options you think you have and help you understand why they may or may not be something you can execute. But in any event, we're here at the end of the show. Once again, I'm getting a friendly whisper in my ear from our producer that we're coming up on the minute mark. We're hopefully going to welcome Dan DuBose back next week. He's been under the weather. And so we're hopeful that he recovers and we'll once again have his voice of reason helping us discuss some of these topics. So I enjoyed today's show, as always, and we're trying to get ready for our near-term expansion. Later this month, we're going on 6 other stations around the country, and looking forward to expanding and offering some new options for learning. We're hoping to even do an international seminar here in the desirable confines of Bangkok, Thailand. And for those of you that might be interested in wrapping some tax deductible education around a semi-vacation, drop me an email. Let me know you're interested, and I'm going to do my best to put together quite a program and keep it small, a lot of one-on-one, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of response we get on that. And then there's other things. Once we get you over here, there's other things that you'll enjoy or may enjoy as well. But anyway, we'll be back next week, same time, same place, and we look forward to you listening in. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.